The April 12, 2006 meeting of the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature to order. Welcome you all and thank you all for your attendance and time that you will spend here with us this afternoon. I think the first order of business ought to be to acknowledge the presence of two new members that we have for our commission. Both sitting right together. Good. First of all, Sonia Sorensen Craig, the publisher of the Statesman Journal, and secondly, Kim Skerritt Duncan, who is the executive director of marketing for TriMet. Now, since you're the first replacements that we've had, I think it would be appropriate for us to give you 2 minutes each to describe your background and resume, and you can state your reason for being so happy to be here with us today.
I'm Sonia. I've been in Oregon 4.5 years. I'm the president and publisher of the Statesman Journal and the Capital City newspaper. And I really enjoy Oregon. I have a daughter who graduated from the University of Oregon before I ever got here, so we already had a connection. I'm glad to be asked to be on this commission because obviously I have lots of interest in things like this. I separate myself from the news people and from the standpoint of a conflict of interest, but I was able to do this because it is a public commission and all the meetings are public, and I appreciate that. So I have been at other newspapers in other states. The one I spent the most time in was Minnesota during the time of Jesse Ventura, among others, and I was there almost 12 years as the publisher of the St. Cloud Times. And that's a very interesting political state as well, as most of you know. I'm a native of Iowa, and I've also lived in Montana and Wisconsin. So I'm now an Oregonian and proud of it and proud to be on this commission.
Thank you. Welcome. Our co-chair made the comment that it may not be as exciting here as it was with Jesse.
But it could be.
I'm Kim Duncan, and I'm very honored to be part of this group. I have worked in and around the legislature for almost 40 years. My first session was in 1967 as an intern for former Governor Victor Teal when he was the minority leader in the Senate. And one of the things I had wanted to bring to this group was a handwritten letter from him, because school was out. We went home in the middle of May, and the session had the temerity to extend, I believe, till the end of May. And he wrote a letter of apology for not being able to get through the whole session while school was still there, and what are they ever going to do about these lengthy legislative sessions? It's a charming letter, and I saved it. But I have worked in the legislature. I've lobbied for both public and private clients. I've worked also in the governor's office and the secretary of state's office. So I've had an opportunity to view this institution from a lot of vantage points, and I have been away from it for about the last 7 years. So it's going to be very interesting for me to take a look at what all the current issues are. Certainly, I paid a lot of attention from the newspaper side of things and political activities, but I hope that my perspective will be a help.
Thank you. We're glad to have you. The clerk will call the roll, please.
Carlos?
Here.
Bernstein, excused. Representative Boone, excused. Bronner?
Here.
Burns?
Here.
Cease?
Here.
Craig?
Here.
Duncan?
Here.
Strohmeyer?
Here.
Barber?
Here.
Senator Gorsuch?
Here.
Marion?
Yes.
Hill?
Here.
Carmel?
Here.
Representative Krieger, excuse. Lane?
Here.
Present.
Vladimir? Excuse. Leeson, excuse.
Oh, yeah.
Indy?
Yeah.
Burton, excuse. Senator Morris?
Here.
Pigley? Excuse. Sheriff Ramirez, excuse. Schutte?
Schutte is here.
Seeley?
Here.
Senchuk? Wilson?
Carl?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh,
Carl's on.
Yeah, I couldn't do it. I am here. Yoshida?
Excuse.
Fryer?
Here.
Wilhelm?
Here.
Representative Boone?
Representative Boone.
Here.
Thank you. Before we get into the business of the day, does the co-chair have comments you'd like to make?
I don't.
You don't?
I don't. No, I'm going to reserve them. Do punctuate throughout.
Okay, good. Well, the sole purpose of the meeting today is to receive the recommendation from the process committee, which is the one that we've been waiting for so long, that will really kind of break the dam for us to be able to work on a lot of other related items that we couldn't really move forward with until we kind of decided where we were heading with this particular item. It's going to be a complex, and I would assume a complex, complicated issue that's going to generate some questions and need some discussion. And so I'm going to ask Ginny Lang, the chair of the process committee, to make the presentation in the form of a motion so that the discussion that we have of the proposal will all be under the appropriate parliamentary procedure. And I hope nobody has a problem with that. So, Ginny, it is the floor is yours, and we'll take it from there.
Thank you, Gary, and thanks to the process committee and staff for their hard work on this over the past several months. The Oregon Legislative Assembly is the most important decision-making body in the state. The issues it considers and the citizens it represents require and deserve a more effective and rational decision-making process, a more structured and disciplined approach to addressing and resolving problems confronting the state. The time is now to create that process, and it is within the authority and responsibility of the managers and members of the legislature to do that, without waiting for a legislative session to pass laws, adopt rules, or put a constitutional amendment or measure before the voters. Those are the two essential findings of the process committee and the reasons for the proposal before you today. The committee's recommendation is in two parts. The first is to change the timing of the 2007 session and plan ahead for a session in 2008. The second is an outline for continuing to meet on an annual basis. In either case, the committee recommends maintaining the biennial budgeting process and the Joint Ways and Means Committee. The key goals in retiming the 2007 session are to improve the process for taking considered action on the issues facing Oregonians in the 21st century, allow a cooling off period between the election cycle and the governing process, and provide members the opportunity to study and understand the issues in preparation for the hundreds of decisions and votes to be made on legislative measures. How would that occur? Measures are drafted and pre-filed for interim committees, agencies, and members. The committee, the process committee, will consider possible changes to this process in the coming weeks. Convene for organization in January of 2007 to elect leaders, adopt rules, appoint committees, and assign bills that have been introduced to committees. Approve a joint resolution establishing concurrent deadlines for bill introductions, committee and floor action in the first house, and other significant internal activities, including committee closure. The supporting documents that were sent to all of you include examples of resolutions and the calendars for action used in Washington State. The governor's biennial budget is submitted by December 1st if it is a returning governor, or February 1st if a new governor, as is done under current law. Between the January organizational meeting and the first Monday in April, April 2nd, 2007, substantive committees, including Ways and Means and Revenue, will meet for subject matter overviews and action on some measures. Committees will also develop legislation, work on amendments, and identify the critical issues to be addressed after floor sessions begin in April. Let's talk more about the January to April time frame. The object is to provide time to dig in on the matters that will come before the legislature And for many legislators and staff, it will look a lot like the first few weeks of any legislative session, only without a daily floor session. What would happen during those weeks? Members and staff training on legislative and parliamentary procedures, ethics and norms, administrative responsibilities, and other items. Committee meetings on agency bills and pre-session filed bills and measures. Periodic one-day floor sessions for introduction and first reading of measures and to take action on some bills. Work with colleagues from contiguous districts or from across the state on issues of unique or maybe not so unique concern to constituents. Use staff, agency personnel, and members of the lobby to provide seminars and background briefings on new or updated information on critical topics, for example, taxes and other revenues, the meth epidemic, water and other natural resource issues. Conduct field trips for combined House and Senate committees. For example, the education committees might visit universities, community colleges, and urban and rural K through 12 schools, meet faculty, school board members, students. The Judiciary Committee could go see the state's prison and county jails, meet with people who manage and run the court system, ask questions of urban and rural city, county, and state law enforcement officials. Transportation committees might visit bridge, highway construction, rail, and port projects, experience the gridlock and transportation problems in Portland and other urban and rural areas. You get the idea. The committee also believes that this time should be spent by legislators not only working together, but in really getting to know one another and the many others with whom they will be working throughout the session. One of the things the committee heard on multiple occasions from a variety of witnesses was that excessive partisanship is fed by legislators not knowing one another well enough to develop honest, trusting relationships that survive the respectful disagreement that goes on during a session. The committee urges members to begin now developing those kinds of relationships. Floor sessions would begin on April 2, 2007. The reason this date was chosen is that it is close to the May revenue forecast, which provides necessary data for legislative deliberation, and it avoids Oregon's K through 12 spring break. Sine die adjournment would be within 120 days after April 2nd. It could be June 15th or the 4th of July, but it cannot be later than July 30th, 2007. All unpassed bills and other measures would die at the end of the 2007 session. There would be no carryover to 2008. And finally, there would be a plan for a legislative session in 2008. Part two of the recommendation recognizes that the legislature has to decide how to implement annual meetings of the Legislative Assembly. However, the committee strongly believes that a more disciplined structure and internal deadlines are essential for the legislature to organize its time and more effectively prioritize decisions. The key elements of meeting an annual session include, during the odd year, the January organization meeting to elect leaders, adopt rules, appoint committees, and so on. Committees meet for orientation, overviews, and begin work, as in the 2007 outline. Floor sessions would start the first Monday in April. The maximum number of calendar days from April would be 120. Deliberation on the budget and on any other fiscal or policy measure would occur just as in a regular session that we know today. All unpassed bills and other measures would die at the end of the odd year, no carryover to the even. The time could be extended only with a 3/5 vote of both houses. During the even year, the legislature would convene in January and begin committee work and floor sessions immediately due to the timing of the current timing of the primary in May. The maximum number of days from convening would be 60 calendar days. Deliberation would be on fiscal and compelling policy issues, not just budget issues, but other fiscal matters that might come up, similar to the topics that may be taken up next week. Time extensions, again, would be allowed only with a 3/5 vote of both houses. Work on the detailed plans to most effectively implement the recommendation can and should begin tomorrow. The presiding officers working with each other and their members and staff, the commission's committees continuing to work on staffing, orientation, compensation, facilities, and many other process matters. The committee expects some change to its recommendation as it works its way through this process. Each of you and every other person in this building and beyond know that they have the perfect idea for how the legislature should do its work. Maybe so, but please don't allow the perfect to be the enemy of the good. The process committee is not interested in having this be the 62nd time a recommendation on the length, frequency, and timing of the legislative session is made, and the 62nd time that nothing ever changes. Thank you for your attention, and we would appreciate your support. With that, Mr. Co-Chair, I move that the Commission approve the Process Committee's recommendation on retiming and annual sessions.
You've all heard the motion. The motion's been placed. Now we will entertain any discussion on the motion, starting with Mr. Barrows.
Madam Chair, I still have difficulty understanding how the period between, let's say, mid-January and the first Monday in April, what members of the legislature who are not on Ways and Means would be doing? Would they be in the building full-time except when they went out on field trips or viewed things or went to a school board meeting or something? Or would they be here part-time and home part-time? I had always thought the latter, but I heard you say today maybe it was they were here full-time, but they were just doing different things than they normally do early in the session.
David, I think it could be any or all of the above, depending on what your committee assignments are, what your leadership responsibilities might be, where you live. I think you could be engaged in committee work or seminar activities. If you were a freshman member, you might be dropped into a three-week boot camp. I think it could play out in any number of different ways. And I know that's not very satisfying to you, because this is a question that you've raised several times before today, and I appreciate that. But I think for almost every member, it could look a little different. I know that Connie's done some thinking about this, and she might have some ideas as well.
Follow up?
I'd like very much to hear what happens.
Ms. Seeley.
Thank you, Commissioner Lang. And first, I just say thank you for, I know you've done, and the committee has done a lot of work on this, and this is not easy stuff. So I think ultimately given the design and of the proposal, it will be up to the presiding officers to together decide how to best use that time. Having kind of gone through this now a couple times, I would imagine fairly active January to April, but again under the guise of trying to use members' time well. So whether they are condensed weeks or a couple weeks here, I think we would want to work with membership to find out what would work well for them. I think getting out from under if you will. The floor session, the daily floor session, is helpful in terms of time management. And our office did a little bit of work on this. By April, we've only passed 18% of the bills. And I think that easily could be moved into the April to June, July time frame, again, if managed well. That is not to say the work that's done in committee in the beginning isn't important. There's a lot of, there's educational components. There are obviously a lot of these issues are very complex and takes many weeks, if not months, to fully develop an issue and get it out to the floor. So I would imagine, again, and I think Jenny said this well, depending upon your role, it could be a very active time, but I think we would, speaking for our office, want to really look at, especially when you're talking about members who are from, you know, John Day, or to really use their time in the best way possible. I mean, we did do the four-day work week for pretty much the time period you're talking about here last time, with the idea of on that fifth day allowing committees to travel. And we did a pretty good job with that, I think, as a Senate, of managing that process, which wasn't the easiest thing in the world, along with committee services. So I don't know if that helps, but I don't see it being a time-off period. And I see substantive committees being fairly active.
Thank you. Okay, further discussion?
Yeah.
Mr. Frohnmayer.
Yep. Madam Chair, Madam Mr. Chairman, maybe in further response or speculation to Commissioner Barrow's question, the House and the Senate would be able to refer to committee all those measures that had been pre-session filed, presumably on the organizational day, because they would have had their first reading. But bills that are introduced during this interim period presumably can't constitutionally be acted upon by committee because they will not have had their first reading. So there will be some inventory of measures or proposed measures that the committees could act on in this interim, I suppose. But until the session, the daily floor sessions take place, there can't be further first readings, as you well know, David, and therefore there's some significant portion of yet to be enacted legislation that will have to start that process in April.
Vast majority.
Yeah.
Well, the chair has a question in that regard to the committee chair. Most of those things, it's my understanding, are a matter of rule, not of statute. I'm sure your committee discussed that. Just how restricted are we in all of this because of what might be in statute at this time?
About
bill introductions and processing the work.
Thank you. We actually just began to take up this topic at our meeting yesterday, and we believe with the counsel of the Chief Clerk and Secretary of Senate's office and others that there may be a very easy way to have one-day sessions, four sessions periodically throughout that time between January and April, so that once every 10 days or once a week or whatever, you would have a floor session in order to have introductions and first readings so that the work could continue to flow throughout that period of time.
Mr. Chair.
Mr. Lindy. Yeah.
Mr. Chairman, just on the same point, it is something that we haven't gone there yet, as Chairman Lang says. We've just begun to look at this issue as presented to us really just yesterday. But it'd be interesting to look at the possibility of whether you can have a pro forma session without necessarily having a quorum present and find a modern technological fix for the reading by simply distributing the bills by computer attachment or whatever form you want to use to the membership, so you don't actually have to be there. If you think about this in historical terms, obviously the reading requirement comes from a time when there was only one bill and they weren't printed. I mean, there weren't any copies. You had to read them aloud so people would know, and they had to be there to hear that, otherwise they wouldn't have a copy. But those are long gone, and it's just an interesting question that would be worth putting to legislative counsel. I'm not going to give you a legal opinion, but I'm just thinking it might be an interesting piece of creative technological work to try to find a way to do that without having to have everybody assemble for no other purpose than to have bill readings.
Thank you. Commissioner Cease.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. My questions were along the same line of the necessity for first reading and assignment to committees, and it sounds like there has been some good creative discussion of that. I guess there's nothing that would be in the way except for leadership and management. There would be opportunities, I think, with this for some management and accountability by the leadership as to how it wanted to assign committees, as to how it wanted those committees to operate in terms of education. You don't need to have a bill assigned to do that, but it does. Was there any discussion of a way to do more pre-session kind of legislator, the kind of filing that swaps over, not to use a bad word, that moves over into the session when all of the weight on legislative council takes up the time ahead of time? Did you talk about ways to speed up or push out pre-session filing so you would have a sense before the beginning of the session in a January thing to have more bills that, so you'd get an idea, so a committee would get an idea in January of what it was going to have to deal with without having to wait for this week to see what's coming to the committee and next week what's coming to the committee? Did you talk about that?
Thank you, Commissioner Cease. We just started that discussion yesterday.
Putting up with my long-winded question.
That's really the next whole piece of work is drafting of bills and measures, amendments, introductions, all of the nuts and bolts of how an idea gets onto a piece of paper and then is assigned to committee and all of that. That's our next challenge.
Well, I think one of the things that's attractive about what I've got on this, at least on the one page in front of me, because I certainly haven't had time to read all the rest, but is there flexibility to what you're putting in front of us today? That it's a conceptual kind of a thing that has some ways to move things around or add things in or take things out. And I'd like to thank the committee for that.
Thank you.
Another question from the chair, and you may have said this in your presentation and I missed it, but isn't the idea that you would have a deadline for bill introduction similar to that which exists today? As far as the point after the calendar point.
Absolutely.
All right. Commissioner Herring.
I wonder if it would be useful to summarize just briefly what it is exactly these changes would accomplish. Going back to our mission is to try to somehow improve the result, not just the process of the legislature. And I'm wondering how this proposal addresses some of those points that we heard about. For example, we heard that we don't get very good candidates sometimes because of the time commitment involved, but it is a large commitment, yet it is not a full-time job. Does this proposal make that any better, for example? And there are some other things like that. As near as I can tell, we have here a plan for spending about roughly the same amount of time in odd-numbered years, but spending an additional month in even-numbered years in the winter. And it seems to me that, when you really think about it, that goes contrary to what we heard. But I could be wrong, and I wonder if somebody could address that.
Mr. Lyon?
Thank you, Commissioner Herron. The thought on the part of the committee was that having time limits and deadlines and structure in the process was as important, if not more so, than the actual number of days that people would spend in Salem. That it's important in recruiting and in serving to know what the expectations are for legislators to serve. And so while this, as Commissioner Cease points out, has some flexibility built into it, the goal was to try to begin to establish limits and some very firm structural outline to the process.
Follow up, Commissioner?
Well, one of the things that has troubled me for years is the difficulty of biennial budgeting. You made the point that the budgeting process would not change. It seems to me that that is one of the things that complicates state finance, because everybody talks in terms of increases, forgetting that it's a two-year increase we're always talking about, and all the other difficulties that go along with two-year budgeting periods. It seems to me if you limit the budgeting just to one of those sessions, if I understand this right, then we haven't gained a whole lot.
That's right.
David? Mr. Chairman, I was going to take a stab at responding further to how these proposals address some or more of the problem statement on which we agreed. So let me just take a quick stab. It seems to me it does not address by itself, Commissioner Herring, the issue of who will serve and why, and what about the quality of candidate recruitment and the time commitments and so forth. I think it's probably neutral with respect to that issue. It does, at least purportedly, and as presented by Chair Lang, address the issue of partisanship in the sense that presumably delaying the start of the session, having a cooling off period, if you will, between the election cycle and the governing cycle, having a greater period where people are acculturated to the process of the legislative assembly, warming up to it rather than being thrown in the midst of it, addresses at least to some degree, maybe a glancing blow, maybe a direct one on the issue of excessive or unnecessary partisanship. We believe that it does address the financial issues better, in the sense that under the current legislative structure, there's basically a lot of shadow boxing until the revenue forecasts come out in March and again in May. And so I believe that the thought is that beginning the formal part of the session later in the spring and much closer to the revenue forecast then removes the time, the inclination, and the uncertainties involved in the budgeting process, and takes it closer actually to the end of that biennial period in the first place. So it really does address, I think, to some major degree the financial issues, and in fact may well be driven in some respects by them. And the third issue that it addresses is the need and the hope to have a 21st century legislative institution, the reality, and I come to this conclusion reluctantly because I'm a biennial guy anyway, but the idea at least of having corrective action capable of taking place in the second year of the biennium is a more rational balancing of workload, and therefore arguably makes the legislature a more realistic institution that's able to respond to a very rapidly changing world. So I think there are three of the issues of our problem statement to which these proposals are directed, at least.
Thank you, Dave. Commissioner Garber?
Yes, thank you, Chair Williams. Thanks to the process committee for all the work. I know that you spent a tremendous amount of time on this and probably discussed all the issues that we're raising and sort of vetted those and came to these conclusions. I'm confused about a couple of things. I'm also someone who's always sort of opposed the idea of annual sessions, but I'm slowly coming into the 21st century and hopefully we'll get there. I'm a little confused about how if we forward this with a positive recommendation, how does it actually move forward from here? Is it the legislative leadership that is going to lay the groundwork between now and January? And it sounds like we're asking the executive branch to do some things differently. So how is all that going to occur? And then there was also a concern that was raised in one of the letters or some of the testimony about school budgets and It may be that what the process committee is saying is because of all the groundwork that would be laid with the committee work January through April or up to April, that once we get the May revenue forecast, things will move much more quickly. But was there some discussion about in terms of local governments that need to know what the legislature is going to do and having sort of built into the system that it's going to be after the July 1st fiscal year?
Thank
you. Let me take those in order. What we think happens to this proposal and probably lots of the other proposals that will come forth from the commission over the next few months is exactly as you laid it out, that we would hand this off, in my mind, immediately to the presiding officers and ask them to begin work rather than writing up the description of it and setting it aside to be included in the final report that's going to come out in November and have people start thinking about it then. So my expectation, and I think the committee's expectation, is that we would have people in this building start thinking about how to do this right away. On the matter of school budgets, we did have discussions with the fiscal office, the revenue office, and a former revenue officer who has also been the fiscal officer for the Portland Public Schools. And their view is that schools always would want to know what the budget amounts are going to be sooner rather than later, but that they felt some confidence that if we had this kind of a process, and as you say, would expect that if the proper groundwork were laid and some management decisions were made earlier in the session, that the information about school budgets and other local government entities would be known in a timely enough way.
Can I just ask one follow-up on the first question of what happens from here forward? Do we have any way, what if we get to January and we find out that a majority of legislators don't agree with this? I mean, is there some thought about how we're going to deal with that?
I'm going to
repeat the question.
Did you see that devil?
The answer is you have to deal with it before November.
Can I try to respond to that question?
Commissioner Seelig.
Commissioner Garber, I think Commissioner Cease, although this isn't just about, November. This is a cultural shift in how we do business, and it has to be started on immediately. And those conversations would probably start soon after the special session, and after the commission has kind of worked its way a little bit further through this deliberation. To that end, and I think, if I could be so bold to say, I think both presiding officers are aware that this conversation is going on. My counterpart, Tori Nichols, went on the Washington trip, and it has spurred a lot of conversation between our offices about a lot of the things that you're talking about, that we're talking about. To that end, not to put Jenny on the spot, but we invited Commissioner Lang to our caucus last week to just kind of walk them through the nuts and bolts, because, the rumor mill on this stuff is as good as it is on the education budget and special session and everything else. So there was lots of rumors floating around, and we wanted them to have a full picture of what was being discussed, because regardless of what kind of change, it seems to me, isn't always easy. To that end, just kind of going back to just touching on the bill introduction issue or any of these issues, and I think Jenny touched on this in her opening remarks, it may not be perfect in the first round. We are going to catch this kind of halfway through an interim. Bill introduction is kind of one of those things that we keep thinking about and talking about and how that's going to work. I think that once you get through on the other end of a session and you've been able to change your interim rules and you're able to do a lot of things, a lot of those things are going to work themselves out eventually. So I think you said it well. Don't let the perfect stand in the way of
the enemy of the good.
The enemy of the good. And there will be a few stumbles here and there, but I think, in my personal opinion, that this is very doable. It's doable.
If I might inquire as to those two commissioners who are on the phone, we cannot see you raise your hand. So do either of you have any comment or question? If you don't now, then you can make a noise of some kind so that we know.
I appreciate tracking most of the conversations, except people can continue to speak up. It would be helpful.
Okay. Duly noted. Carl?
Yeah. Co-chairs, thank you. I'll tell you, I like this proposal very, very much. Of course, my experience in the legislature, although not exceeding 5 years, has been recent experience, and I can tell you the current process is fraught with uncertainty, and this proposal has some, namely what January through April of the odd year will look like, but that doesn't alarm me in the slightest. I think leadership can work that out easily. But as a template, I think this shows great contemplation and practicality in dealing with the process as we know it now. As Jenny says in her committee report, it does not prescribe the structure forevermore. But I'll tell you, for a first an initial effort, I think this gives a really great template that really seems very practical to me.
Thank you, Carl. Commissioner Gordley.
Thank you very much. First, I would like to honor our chair and say that our committee has been very well served by a thoughtful chair, someone who is also very energetic. I appreciate Commissioner Lang's consultative approach and also the fact that she's very well organized, as you have heard in her overview remarks. And I would just ask that those same remarks be shared with our entire commission, because, I think they lay out a very strong, eloquent case for the proposals that you have in front of you in a shorter form. With that said, I also want to draw the Commission's attention to a letter that you have in front of you from the State Treasurer in support of the proposals. And with that said, the other thing I want to remind us all of is something that was said by Representative Krieger several meetings back. He tried to share, and I thought he did a great job, that the role of legislator is for many of us a full-time responsibility. It has become that. And that the role is, it's an inside role, and thank you, Judge Pryor, Commissioner Pryor, for helping me reflect on this morning when we spoke over breakfast. The role of legislator is an inside, there's an inside role, which this proposal and the structure proposal before you addresses. But there's also that other role that I call the outside role, where we are serving as we are in the role of serving our constituents. I'm sitting here, but my phone is still ringing back in the district office. I have a part-time staff person, thank goodness for the part-time staff, who really could be full-time answering the phone, dealing with the email, attending meetings on my behalf. I also attend any number of meetings. You'll recall Representative Krieger pulled out his calendar and just kind of breezed through all the other responsibilities that legislators are responsible for that are the outside role, complementing what we do when we are in session. So I would just ask us to keep that piece to keep that piece in mind, because it is, when we say workload, I think it's important that we understand that workload has two parts, if you will. I really appreciate Commissioner Herring's question, which is about how does this proposal improve the result, and I don't know that we have effectively answered the question for him, so I would ask him the question now. Are we getting at your question?
Yes, you're getting it.
Okay.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmel.
I want to kind of reflect back to something Commissioner C said a few minutes ago. I believe I'm a supporter of the annual sessions. I am also not a legislative creature. That is to say, I don't haunt the halls a lot. I believe that if the legislature could itself do annual sessions, it would have done annual sessions. So this brings me to the question of what is the role of this commission and what is the purpose of the commission. I think that this commission needs to use its moral authority or its bully pulpit or provide political cover, do what it can to encourage legislative action. We aren't lawmakers, and we can recommend to the legislature, if we took the modest view of this commission's work, we could recommend, you really ought to try this out, you might like it, and you really ought to try to think about the timing, and you really ought to try to think about some of these characteristics that we have spent so many hours vetting. I am one who prefers a more muscular approach. I believe that this commission can have impact, can have real impact, even though we don't make the laws and most of us are not in legislative roles. So when I hear words like we need to give the legislature flexibility, okay, we need to urge the legislator to determine timing and think about how to implement and try it, you might like it. I get really concerned, and this may be my business background speaking, but I get really concerned that the commission will have no impact at all. And some of you may remember that in the very first meeting of this commission, I said, I hope at the end we will have offered some bold strokes and we will have made a difference and will have provided guidance, if not requirement, of the legislature. So to this end, I want to say that I think flexibility and the ability of the legislature to tweak some things and kind of make it work and figure out the implementation plan, I have no objection to that. Of course, they're going to need to do the tweaking and the change, work with the apparatus and make it happen. But I believe that the purpose of this commission is to adopt recommendations that have muscle, that are muscular, and I went to the thesaurus and thought, strongly worded, emphatic, and muscular is the one I like. I really want this commission to be muscular. And you will probably hear this speech every time we have a meeting, but I will make it every time if necessary. So, I call your attention to the proposal before you. There are two parts of it. The first one is, in fact, a recommendation. It says, retime the session for 2007-08 and have an annual session in 2008. That's a recommendation. The second item reads, Legislative Assembly to determine timing and how best to implement, et cetera, what I would call excessively flexible language. The committee is not of a mind, I must confess to you, that in our process committee, there are some of us who want to be a little more muscular than others of us, but and some are more flexible to their credit. But if the recommendation read, adopt annual sessions, our recommendation, commission's recommendation to the legislature, adopt annual sessions with hard time limits and retime schedule beginning the 2009 session, by statute referred to 2008 primary with these characteristics. That, I think, would be a muscular recommendation. So I'm really worried about an affirmative vote on the proposal of this committee to tell the legislature to figure out how to implement it and think about it. I would really like to urge more muscular language. So with that little speechlet out of the way, I'll be quiet.
Thank you. Co-chair Pryor.
I'm going to let these folks.
Okay. Commissioner Bronner.
Just don't forget me.
Well, I won't forget you.
Thank you.
I agree with Commissioner Carmel that the proposal lacks what we set out, what at least I set out to see included. I'm convinced that the way it is before you,
is perhaps the best that our subcommittee can do. It may not be the best that the full commission can do. If this is annual sessions, and that's what it's going to be represented as, it lacks a little something. It's my belief that having a penalty, as other states do, for going beyond the time limit is not unconscionable. As a matter of fact, it's expected. The voters expect it. And quite frankly, I think it might spell the difference between annual sessions and not having annual sessions. The answer to how did the schools react to this, I remember the former finance person saying, we'd rather have certainty, and this proposal, as we talked about it then, this proposal does provide certainty. I think that we can have our cake and eat it too when it comes to annual sessions, and I believe the fiscal session is necessary in today's world. Now, we talked originally, somebody brought up the subject, Mr. Barrels, I think, somebody about the electronic age is among us. Well, if you recall, on the first day of this get-together, I talked about laptop computers that I've witnessed in other states and the fact that they don't deal with paper and the fact that they've got at each desk a computer that provides them everything about the bill, the background, and so forth. It's available to us, Dave, and we could do that. Now, the one thing that hasn't been mentioned that is, maybe it has, but maybe I missed it. This does provide to the legislature the flexibility for them to adopt it however they want to. This is not a constitutional amendment, but it could be. The legislature could make it such. This doesn't have that mandatory second session spelled out, as Barbara pointed out, but it could. It could either by action of the full commission or by action of the legislature. I guess it's where you want to put your trust if you believe in annual sessions. I came into the process, told you up front that I didn't like annual sessions, that I had opposed it all my life. But I can tell you that when you're dealing with a $12 billion budget and the complexity of issues, I don't believe that the legislature ought to have the black mark that it has. I think kind of the voters ought to share in that, and we can talk about that if you want to. But I think that we need to change the process, and this is the way to do it, and it's also a flexible way to get it started. Thank you. Commissioner Morse.
Thank you. A question and a follow-up. Did the committee consider changing the date for the May revenue forecast?
Commissioner Ryan.
The committee talked about that with the Legislative Revenue Office, but we did not ever actually take up a proposal to do that.
A follow-up.
Let me say one other thing. What the Legislative Revenue Officer told us is that the reason that the May forecast date is so important is that it is the closest to the April 15th actual collection of taxes.
Follow-up. Thank you. It's, at least in recent sessions, it's been very clear that the driving force behind everything we do is the budget and the problems associated with the budget. It seems that in most recent sessions, in recent years, the budget has been the driving force for everything that we do and the greatest source of conflict. And it would seem to me that given the April 15th, you know, that's the cutoff essentially, and that's a critical time to understand just how collection, revenue collections are happening, that it would be possible to accelerate the May forecast to an earlier date, which would allow us to escape being in session in the summer here. I've got concerns with the timing issue, the conclusion of essentially August 1. I think that has a material impact on the ability to recruit candidates. And I know, you know, in this cycle, the ability to recruit candidates has just been very, very difficult. And if we were to implement this kind of a schedule where you're actually making a commitment to come here in January and be here to the 1st of August, and it sanctions that as the approved schedule, and then to add to it another 2 months in the even-numbered years, I don't see where the initial purpose was how do we create greater efficiency and do a better job. I think we've just extended the timeline, and it would make it very, very difficult to recruit candidates. I also think it would be a difficult sell from the public's perception as to how we're recommending something that's a gain as opposed to, you know, just extending the time that we're in session, and they're already cynical about that. There are many good things about this proposal, but carrying it through to the 1st of August is not one of them. And I just have some real concerns about that. And I think Senator or Representative Merkley was very clear in his analysis. He said, however, it must be made clear that the proposal extends the number of months that legislators would have to attend full-time to legislative business. And I think that's going to be a tough sell.
Thank you. Commissioner Boone.
And I'm glad that I'm in this order because a lot of people have given me a little bit fleshing out of what I had to say. And first, and these are just some thoughts, but I really appreciate all that Commissioner Lang and her committee did. And the fact that she's been around here for maybe about just a few years because she's only about 30-something, but, you know, she definitely has the experience in all different kinds of situations, short and long sessions, and the reasons for them. And picking up on what Senator Morris just said, I wondered if the committee had talked about how Washington does theirs in the 4 months in 1 year, the odd year, and then 2 months in the other year, as just that January through April, and then January through whatever, January and February, the 2 months, which is a total of the 6 months that we do now, well, supposedly do now. And with that being said, the second shorter session being like Washington State does as a to do a supplemental budget, which they're still annual sessions, but they're short and long. And that was one thing. I want to comment on what Senator Gordley said about the inside and outside roles. And one of the things that I mean, having been here a long time as a staff person, I didn't really have to go through this except with the new members, newly elected members, when I first came on. But the first 4 to 5 months, I mean, seriously, even up to into May, people are still getting to know each other. And if they at all step outside of their caucuses, and I know I can speak freely in this group, they will be meeting people on the other side of the aisle and on the other side of the building. But that takes some effort and some time on their part, both in times when we're here, the 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 8 to 6, and that's just a joke because it's really longer than that. You all know that. But just the normal work day and what you have to do with the appointments, with the first 4 months of my appointment book, I seriously had to tell Patrick, my assistant, schedule me a bathroom break at least once a day. You have to do that because so many people want to come and introduce themselves, meet with you, and all that. So there's that. The outside part that she was talking about is when you go home on the weekends, and some people, I suppose, who live within driving distance to Salem, go home in the evenings, they will have people with demands on their times those evenings, and then definitely on weekends. I mean, there are no Saturdays and Sundays off unless you make them. because there's always a group or somebody wants to meet with you. Plus, doing this constituent work, that's often the only time working people can meet with you, too. And so then that segues into my last comment about how we accommodate people who have jobs. If this is going to be a citizen legislature and people keep their outside jobs, their day jobs, so to speak, or their night job, weekend job. And Commissioner Carmel said something about the commission's role, and I think what I heard her saying was that this is an advisory role to the legislature and a supportive role in that sense. So
I was thinking pushing.
Pushing, well, you know, gently pushing and guiding all that. But that's kind of my thought. I just want to make sure for the record, do I support annual sessions? Because I do think that, you know, with the limits on them, I think that that is a good way to get this job done and to also deal with that long stretch in between, you know, and to keep some parameters, sideboards on it.
Thank you. Co-Chair Pryor.
Let's see if I can just put this in perspective for a minute. We've all been waiting for this day when this report would come forward, and we were all kind of waiting for this day so that we would then say, okay, we have this before us now, and it more or less will drive everything else. So I agree that the length of the time, if you add and don't take away, could be a hard sell. However, I'm going to go a different direction with this, and that is this. This is the beginning of a vision. There is a tremendous amount of work to be done yet in all the committees. All the questions that are being asked are good questions, and we need to get them on the table. But this is really the beginning of a vision. And it's the beginning of what can either be a report or can be the beginning of a great report that can make very robust recommendations and that can capture the imagination not just of the citizens but of the people that are serving in the legislature now for what it can be, what you could do if you're willing to step up and do that work. Now, we have said that there needs to be predictability in the time frame. The legislators have to have time for adequate decision-making. We need the stability in governance and the systems and the budgeting. We need time for discussion, negotiation, research, deliberation to get to know each other and make decisions. We need more ability for agency administrative oversight. We need to be able to do actual policy development. We need to remove the need for special sessions and the ramping up and costs of those sessions. We need greater sophistication in problem solving. None of that do you get done in less time. Now, the citizens will only accept more time if they understand what that body of work is, all these things that we needed to get done. So robust recommendations going on the foundation of the work of a different session length. If we believe that, then we have to come up with why do we need it? What are all these things that we thought they were going to do? How are they going to do better agency oversight? Does that mean something to the citizen? I bet it does. I bet it does. But if we just say, let's do an annual session and do not finish the work, give them the vision of a more sophisticated expectation of what the legislature can do in Oregon, then they won't buy it. But then we will not have done the work that we were asked to do here either.
Thank you. Commissioner Frohnmayer.
Yes, a quick point, but I think an important one, Mr. Chair, because we had to remind ourselves about it in the process committee itself, and that is that this is really the only show in town. If we wanted to have muscular limitations, we'd have to wait for a constitutional amendment. So you're really looking at the 2009 biennium before anything starts. This was deliberately designed as a proposal that could be done now on an experimental basis to see, frankly, how the time limits work, to see the degree to which legislative leadership and the caucuses of both houses and both parties can live with it. Let's remind ourselves that the legislature convenes in 9 months. and that if it doesn't have time to work on this proposal, it won't have time to work on anything, and it'll be nothing responsive to the public's concern for another 2 years at a minimum, and perhaps even an election cycle. And so the virtue of this proposal, and I think it's a substantial virtue, is that it's now. It is the show in town. It gives the Legislative Assembly the capacity to begin now to plan for a different legislative calendar, a more rational fiscal planning situation, a set of conditions under which arguably partisanship will be less or be lessened. And those are things that can start in 9 months, actually operationally. There's nothing else that we have to offer or that anyone has to offer that remotely will touch that time frame. And that, in our view as a committee, I believe I'm representing fairly, is not only a substantial advantage, but it's a hugely overpowering reason to do this now.
Thank you. Commissioner Lindy.
Mr. Chairman, I particularly want to appreciate, express appreciation for what Co-Chair Pryor said about this, and I want to reassure people who, in two respects here, I'm supporting this. I'm on the committee, and I'm supporting this proposal. One is that, first of all, this doesn't say you have to stay in session until the end of July. And indeed, the idea is that, to get certainty, is that the leadership or the two houses would set a target date, deadline, call it what you will. I like to call it a limit, but it can be overridden by 3/5, which requires bipartisan. You can't get 3/5 in nowadays in Oregon, in both houses, any other way. So, of course, they might set an earlier date, and they might very well try to reach it. It is correct to say that the budget, the financial, the appropriation goals always, traditionally, one thing has to pass. If nothing else passes, the state goes on. If appropriations don't pass, state stops. And that's true in Congress. You know that. They have continuing resolutions, and they go on way past their deadline because they can't agree. So that is the fast job to be done. But if they can get that started sooner, and if it is possible to move closer, as Senator Moore says, to the April 15 date, then they can set an earlier time limit. There's nothing in this that says you've got to stay in session. Same thing for the second session. It may not take six. If it's primarily a tweaking the budget kind of thing, that's somewhat beyond what the emergency board can do now, but not a whole redo of the whole budget, then there's no need for it to stay for 60 days. I might add one more point that's been made. All of these things we've discussed today are things that we spend a lot of time on discussing, of course, for the same reasons in the commission. One of the things that became clear is that for most states, the biennial budget works a lot better, including for this one, and that the idea of having to make an annual budget was just terrible for the agencies, for the executive branch, as well as for the legislature. It's just easier to do it this way. And if there are things that are contingent and that you can't quite predict, that's what this whole second session is about. Now, the second point I wanted to make is about being robust and muscular, because I'm Commissioner Carmel's side with respect to most of these. I'm not in favor of constitutional amendments. That's a different issue. But as far as being taking a leadership role and pointing out things, look, the annual session thing, which to everybody out here in this building seems to be the most important single thing that they've been waiting for, because that's how the system presently works, by no means the most important recommendations we have to make. And we may come out with some very muscular things down the line that you don't want to even talk about here today, but that are much more addressed to a lot of the other causes of our discontent with the present legislative setup, that are not calendar at all. The calendar thing is, in a sense, the most familiar and the easiest piece of the puzzle. And I think we've come up with a very good way of saying, let's not leap in and so say there has to be a precise answer, and we're going to have it locked in, because we know we're so smart, we can tell you right now what's going to work 4 years down the line. And that's why it's the way it is. And I think we ought to be looking for the remaining recommendations that come out of this commission, our committee first, and I hope by our commission, that should give people something to talk about, some sense of mission of where this legislature should be going, the state should be going, that goes beyond just rejiggling the calendar.
Thank you. We intend to take a break at 2 o'clock, which is about 7 minutes from now. I have currently on the list Commissioners Latimer, Carmel, Bronner, Garber, Timchuk, and Barrows. If anyone else wants to be on the list, well, I'll be happy to take your name. Commissioner Latimer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in a difficult situation here. Personally, I've been a worker and student both in college and out of the legislature for almost 40 years. And I really believe that what Commissioner Carmel says is what we've got to do. We've got to come up with something robust. And I'm sorry, I don't see this as being a robust proposal. I understand how hard it was to put this together. And unless we come out with something a lot more definitive and more robust that the people can of this state can understand, I think it will very quickly go away as a recommendation, both in the legislature and without. I don't want to take a lot of time telling you why I think that's the case or what I think we ought to be doing, because I can read tea leaves, too. But let me talk a little bit about the budget and disagree with Commissioner Lindy. I've come to the conclusion that the only way we get around a lot of these problems is to go to annual budgets. And I know that is heresy, and it's something I never thought a conclusion I would come to. What you have to understand about the budget process is it doesn't start when the legislature comes to town. It's already started for next session. You have departments already putting their budgets together. So they're putting a budget together in February of the odd numbered year, of the even numbered year, to won't go to an effect until July, hopefully, maybe September, of the even numbered year. And they have to predict costs and revenues that far out. You can't do it anymore. Look at the problem with the kicker. It's much easier to predict costs and revenues for a year. And if you go to annual sessions, let me tell you, you're going to have a de facto annual budget anyway, because the legislature will come back in and monkey with the budget. So you might as well just be upfront about it and say, we're going to go to annual budgets. Those states that have annual sessions with biannual budgets, Ohio and Texas being two of them, really do, in effect, annual budgets, even though they have what's called a biannual budget. They come in the second year and work on it. So I don't know whether you talked, Commissioner Lang, about annual budgets, but and whether the committee wanted to make a recommendation on that or not. But I don't think that until we make some of those fundamental kinds of changes, we're going to get much other than moving the deck chairs.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmel?
I'll be very brief. I want to give you a vision, not a pretty vision. This is 10 years ago I bought a house, and there was one blackberry vine in the backyard. For 10 years, it's been creeping on me. So the vision I have for you is that when we first started in the committee talking about annual sessions, and because of April 15th being the we can't change of date of collection of taxes, we talked about starting the session essentially in late April or when as close to that tax get as close to the annual predictions as possible. And at the time, the intention was, okay, we'll give the legislature a week in January to kind of to get their act together and get organized. And then there's going to be a time for reflection, a time for only ways and means, really, to get very serious as a committee during that period of time. And since that stage in our deliberations, when we were talking about essentially the legislature is not meeting after that first week until late March or April, and then a lot of things that you could do in that time between March and April kept like blackberry vines creeping in. Well, we could help them get to know each other and for sure orientation for newbies, for newcomers to the legislature. But I think in a lot of recommendations that we'll be hearing in the future, as you discuss the detail and as the nuts and bolts come to the surface, the blackberry vines are going to creep in and try to eat up the definitive recommendations. So the intent here is not that the legislature meet from January until August. The intent is that it'd be 120 days starting in April. And a lot, there'd be a lot of forces of nature, like blackberry vines, creeping in to the dry periods when they're not in session. But I just want to warn us to not allow that to happen and to maintain the integrity of the concept, which is April for 120 days and the other 60-day session, and not let the blackberry vines take us over.
Thank you. And with that, we will take a 10-minute break. Until 2:10, thank you for the spirited discussion, and we will resume at 2:10. The meeting of the Public Commission on the Oregon Legislature. Co-chair Pryor had to run down to the governor's office for a minute or two, and should be back any moment. I'd like to continue the discussion with Commissioner Brauner.
That's what you get for put your name on the list, and then there's a break, and you get some questions. I want to know. I remember distinctly. I want to remind us again that the legislature is fully in control of this proposal. That there's nothing in this proposal that cannot be changed by the legislature. Maybe that's a fault, but some of you have suggested that you want to change the time. You want to change a number of things. Could I suggest to you that this has come further than most annual session proposals? It's close to the being in front of the legislature, both bodies. I think that's important. I'd like to make sure that Barbara's blackberry does see the road. Or raspberry, or whatever it was. I'd like to see something come from this committee that we can be proud of. And so we're getting down now to where the time is running. And I urge a yes vote on the approval of a bill that is not in keeping with my perfect bill, but it's a whole lot better than nothing.
Thank you, Frank. Could I inquire as to who we might have on the phone at the current time?
Present there.
Thank you. Commissioner Garber.
Yes. First of all, if this is the proposal for annual sessions and we're going to do an up or down vote, then I would support it as it is. I guess on this question of flexibility versus being muscular, seems to me that the urgency to do something is really on the first recommendation, and that's really the only thing we can do on the first recommendation is to say retime the session so that we have a session next year as structured or recommended here with a predetermined special session, really is what we're talking about in 2008. We can't, there's no time to do anything other than that. But the second recommendation, if we want to become more definitive about what the commission would recommend, could be strengthened quite a bit, and we could just say we think that there should be annual sessions, and here's how we think the legislature should proceed, whether that's by retiming or by referring it to the voters. So I would suggest that the first recommendation, you know, if there's a consensus that that's the direction we want to go, with maybe some tweaking of the dates if we think we should start in March at the end of June instead of the end of July, but in terms of trying to be stronger in our recommendation that we look at the second topic as opposed to the first one.
Thank you, Commissioner Garber. I've been advised that there will be motions, some motions made to amend the proposal that will deal with the items that you're discussing as we proceed with further discussion. Commissioner Barrows.
Thank you, Mr. Co-Chair. I have a question for Ms. Taylor, if I may, and I apologize I didn't get a chance to visit with you during the break. And it probably speaks to my lack of doing my homework as thoroughly as I might have. Are there any other states that do this, come in, do a week, go out, or maybe not go out? Or is there a model that other states do this way?
Mr. Chair and Commissioner Barrows, I believe there are. I don't know off the top of my head which states would do that.
Yes. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
New Hampshire meets 2.5 days a month.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. New Jersey used to meet 1 day a week. But that isn't what we're talking about here.
No. Commissioner Seeley.
I guess there's just a couple things I guess I would want to comment on. First is whether this is muscular enough. And I guess what I would say to that is if the commission ceased to exist today, it would still have done a whole lot. And the reason I say this, and I know Marjorie Taylor could validate this, and those of you who are in and around the process, maybe more day in and day out, it has already been a tremendous catalyst for change, both at the staff level, people chattering about the fact that legislators are having conversations about, well, when should we come in? When shouldn't we come in? And I would advocate strongly to seize that, to try something. That doesn't mean that it maybe shouldn't be firmed up at some point. But as Commissioner Frohmeyer has pointed out, that is not an option right now before us. So I guess I would strongly advocate to kind of seize what I feel reverberating around the building at least, and I hopefully around the process generally, to kind of take that leap forward. Following up to that, I guess the other thing I would add is I know in talking with the members of my caucus, these dates might not be perfect in their mind, but ultimately this is going to be a decision, at least moving into 07, that they're going to be a part of making. You know, the Speaker and the President can't just impose dates upon them. They're going to have to vote on rules and structure, and that takes a majority of the body. And I actually think excuse me, that's a good thing. It's going to force input. It's going to force hopefully some consensus within the process and within the membership to move forward on, again, what I hope will be great change. So I guess I just wanted to offer that.
Thank you, Connie. Commissioner Morse.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think there is merit in recommending something that is a little more muscular. But in that light, I would like to move an amendment, actually three amendments, Mr. Chair, with respect to the motion that we have before us. And I believe that these amendments would put it in the category of an improvement from the public's perception and increase the likelihood that members of the Assembly would, in fact, see them as an improvement as well. Would move three amendments. The first would be, and I understand you'd choose to have these separate so we don't get...
Yeah, just for the sake of the ease of discussion and recording the minutes, we'd like to take them one at a time. So if they're related, you're free to announce in advance what the three of them would be.
Okay,
we'd just like to take them one.
I would like to put them in context. Thank you, Mr. Chair. The first motion would be to move the deadline, and deadlines are important. And I think the statement that was made earlier that deadline structure and limits, you know, that's a very strong theme, and I think we need to be consistent with that. But to move the deadline to June 20th, the second motion would be that the floor session would begin the first Monday in March, The third motion would be that we retime the May revenue forecast to the closest practical date to April 15th, because that's a very, very critical part of our budget process. So, Mr. Chair, those would be my three motions there to amend, and I would move that we move the move the deadline from July 30th to June 20th.
Commissioner Morse has moved that the latest date for adjournment sine die be
June 20th.
Be amended from the current July 30th to June 20th.
Yes.
120 days.
Oh, and that does have an impact on the language that states that we have a 120-day limit.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, I think that the motion could be that you adjourn sine die no later than June 20th, period.
Yes.
And you that will the next
whatever
motion,
change in the language needs to be made.
Of course. And that the next motion would be that the floor sessions begin the first Monday of March, and then we'll do the math after that.
Yes.
So it's not necessarily a 120-day session.
Right.
What's the third?
Yes, that's not being impacted.
And, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, I believe the third recommendation was then to adjust the revenue forecast and move it as close to the April 15th date as possible.
As practical.
Practical.
And that's, Mr. Chairman, there's a whole host of, you know, sources of information and data that they collect, and that our recommendation would be that they marry those as closely as possible to April 15th, so that we do have the benefit of an accurate forecast, but get it earlier than what we have been getting it.
Okay. Discussion on motion number one, which is to move the date to June 20th.
Point of information.
Commissioner, yes, Commissioner Cease.
So automatically, if we adopt the first one, then the 120 days gets reduced in the recommendation, or, well, I'm not sure how it's going to work to vote separately on these. Sorry, I'd just like to know what I'm really voting on.
You're moving, the chair's opinion is that it's a simple motion, changing the maximum ending date from July 30th to June 20th. And that would impact the 120-day limit, because that, based on another motion that's about to come, would be less than 120 days.
If the second one passes.
Yes.
If the second one doesn't pass.
In either case.
Mr. Chair, point of parliamentary inquiry. I assume these motions require a second.
No.
Any motions we make to amend an amendment. No.
We are operating under Mason's rules, which do not require a second.
Okay.
Is there any further discussion on Commissioner Timchuk?
We know, maybe Senator Morris, you do. What do you, April 15th date, what do you think is the closest practical date? With knowing the revenue coming in, what would the date be? May 1, April 20th? Any, from your experience or anybody else's experience who knows about it, what would it likely be? John?
It would be probably about May 1st. I mean, you're talking only 2 weeks. You might be able to hedge it a week, I don't know, because you're getting more and more of this done electronically. So you've got a pretty good, they're tracking these things all the way through. It's not like April 15th, suddenly the lights come on. They're knowing by April 15th, they've got a good idea of what's going on. So I don't know whether that particular date change really makes a lot of difference. I've always thought the May 1st date was artificial anyway.
Further discussion on the motion.
Yes, to a man. Hear from the chair of the committee on your thoughts on the First Amendment.
Commissioner Lyon.
Thank you, Carl.
I think this falls in the category of what we expected might, could, would happen at some point along the way, that there were going to be suggestions for changes. I don't know if this is the right date or a better date, but it does have the impact, combined with the other motion, with the next motion, of reducing the number of days to about 105 days instead of 120. And I guess that would be an issue for some consideration as to whether that's long enough or not. Beyond that, I don't have a strong opinion, a muscular opinion.
Is there further? Commissioner Carmel.
I'm reflecting upon Commissioner Frohnmayer's comment that the proposal here does not directly impact the desirability of being a legislator, the ability to attract candidates. And I'm taken by the June 20 date, given that the most of the heaviest action is going to be in early June. I'm taken by the concept that offering a candidate for the potential candidate for the legislature assurance that unless everybody really, really wants to stay on, that getting out of there by June 20 might indeed make it a more palatable assignment. And therefore, I'm inclined, even though the committee itself on which I serve has not used that date, I'm inclined to support it.
Commissioner Lindy?
I would speak in opposition to this.
Bring his mic.
I'll tell you, this is a characteristic example of having kind of a wish list that has mutually incompatible, mutually inconsistent, contradictory objectives in mind. And that's been a difficulty throughout this commission's work, as far as the rhetoric has been. I'll tell you why. On the one hand, we talk about wanting better informed legislators, more deliberation, more opportunity for the public to be able to know what's going on and get in time to be able to affect it. On the other hand, we want people to have short sessions and get out of here. And you can't do both at the same time. The numbers game isn't something we ought to be engaged in, whether it's 105, 120. And I'll tell you why. Because at the front end, what you're going to lose is one of the things that staff and other people have recommended to us, which is to have a time where new legislators aren't thrown into immediately having to know what's going on. They're being educated. They're learning what other committees do, to have a chance to actually be briefed on what's going on. That's what those early weeks, that's why we set it back, proposed setting it back, till April. Now, if it's April or whether it's March 15th isn't so important. But if you want to shorten it, then shorten it at that front end. The idea of shortening it by just saying, oh, well, you know, June 5th, June 20th is a better day than July. This whole thing is a recommendation that says don't make it any later than July 20th. There's no reason why it needs to be that long. But if it is going to be that long, there are people who, if you let them, there are people who would say, oh, put it in the Constitution so they can't possibly stay any longer than that. That's totally contradictory with any notion that you are improving the legislature. You're not improving the legislature. You may improve the life of candidates. You get a few people who say, well, if I get out of here earlier, I'll run, and otherwise I won't run. If that's your only objective, sure. Then there's a much better solution, which we all discussed before, I mean, in committee. We're not going to take every other option here and explain it to you all over again, but there are better solutions if you have people who only want to serve part-time and people who want to stay longer and do more work and be more expert and make more of a profession out of being in the legislature. You can solve that problem. But you cannot simultaneously say, we want people to be better informed, we want the public to have more chance for deliberation, we want more information, and we want to really be careful about what we do, and we're going to shorten the period. But that urge to to do both at the same time, you know, rhetorically, is so strong that people are willing to say, yes, we really believe in a better informed, more effective, modern 21st century legislature, and also to say, but by golly, we want them out of here. Now, we can play this game about dates. You know, we can amend, motion to amend the amendment to make it not June 20th, but June 30th. But we shouldn't be doing that in this commission. That's not what we need to do. What we've done here is to, I mean, this wasn't my choice. I didn't come up with this date here. But it's an acceptable outer limit. And if people say that's too long, it's entirely in their power to say, no, we won't vote for that in the legislature. I don't think that being, quote, muscular means that we have to be very, very prescriptive about things like calendar dates. That's driven by, for example, the whole problem of the budget, which depends not just on the April 15th forecast, but on lots of other things. We heard a lot of testimony about these things. And so to me, this is kind of a, you know, you can do this if you want to, but then the next thing you come along, you do something else, and then you kind of tinker with it, and you try to get it into another set of numbers. But it's not really, the game isn't worth a candle to do that. There are much more important things that we can and should do about improving the legislature. So I think this particular change, I think, is counterproductive because it drives... The Washington example is constantly being... People went to see the Washington legislature. There's a consequence for a quick session, and we haven't mentioned it yet, but it is driven... It's more leadership-driven than we have today, which is really bad. I mean, it is... Makes it shorter. It's harder to say, we've got an agenda, we've got to know exactly what we're going to do when we come in, we're going to know within a matter of few, and then we're going to move this stuff through. Sure, we have to have a hearing, we'll have a hearing, but it doesn't matter, we'll know what we're going to do because we've got to get out of here. Now, that's not the kind of legislature, I think. If you think, I'll give you a model. Compare how the House of Representatives works in Washington, D.C., with how the Senate works. And you know that there are two very different models going on. And everything that's driven from the top down, committee chairs being told, this is what you're going to do, this is your agenda, this is what you're going to get out, this is what you're going to take off the table, all of that very, very strong leadership approach is necessary in one kind of body and not in the other kind of body. I don't want that kind of a legislature, one that's driven by the calendar to have the leaders tell everybody what to do, when to do it, shape up. We're not running an army. This is a democratically elected legislature we're talking about. If they want to say this is our agenda, we're going to finish it, we're going to get out of here, I don't care what the date is. We want them to set the date at the beginning. They can get agreement on it. It can't be set by it can't be set by the chair. It's got to pass the House. This is when we're going to set the date. Why should we be so concerned about saying, no, it's got to be faster than some other date? I wouldn't do it.
Thank you, Hans. Commissioner Seeley.
I had a question and a comment. My first question is, if I'm remembering correctly, and I don't know if you want to get Warner up here, Paul Warner, our revenue officer, to answer these questions specifically about when you could. He used to be a state economist, so he's played both roles. I believe the date for the forecast is in statute. Looking around at someone to nod and tell me yes. So a concern that raises just in someone, again, who in 4 months might have to start implementing all this, you have something in statute that I can't change until I get members in the building. And all the other pieces of this that the presiding officers, along with the majority of their chambers, can implement, obviously with full agreement and moving forward. So that's challenging. I guess I worry less about the beginning and the end, but I do worry about shortening 120 days. I did leave Washington with a real sense of a real lack of public process and a real race toward the deadline. It is a very leadership caucus-driven system, and I don't see that as something that would fly in our system. So I would worry about that. I worry about the, depending on how far you could push the forecast back to that June 20, I guess I'd want to know what kind of time period you're talking about so you can have appropriate public hearings and airings and discussion of the big issues. And I just don't know that where that is, if it's a week or if it's 2 weeks or 3 weeks or how much time you gain there.
Thank you. Further discussion on the motion to amend?
Chairman?
Commissioner Timchuk,
Commissioner Morris. I'm inclined favorably towards this proposal because maybe I'm mistaken, but I don't think you're losing all that much. I mean, you're cutting off a month at the beginning where the legislature, instead of 3 month time period to do all the preliminary stuff, you're giving them a 2 month time period, which I think I'm confident they could probably do in a 2 month time period. And then you're moving it back from the end of July to the end of June, essentially. So it's not, you're not going from 120 days to 90 days or to 60 days. It's pretty equivalent in my math. And am I mistaken? And I do think your concern about making this more attractive to attract legislators is, might serve a purpose.
If I might respond, Mr. Chair.
Commissioner Morris.
I think it's important to remember that the session begins in January. It doesn't begin April or May or March 1st. It begins in January. We just choose to operate a little bit differently for those first months. So it really is not as short as it sounds. And looking at past history, you know, it was possible to get the work done. And it's a matter of becoming more efficient with our time. With respect to the issue of integration of new members, if I might address an additional issue, Mr. Chair, you know, there are ways to do that that are very, very productive in terms of assigning mentors to new members that purposely integrate them and educate them and bring them along. And also there's the initiative of each new legislator. I made the attempt to reach out and make appointments with people that I didn't know and go spend time with them, just visit about the issues. So there's a certain amount of self-starting to this process as well as institutionalizing a mentoring process that can really shorten that timeline at the beginning. So if we couldn't get it done in 2 months, you're not going to get it done in 3 months.
Further discussion?
Yes. Chair Wilhelm.
Commissioner Wilson.
Yeah, I have a question for you. As part of the overall body of work that the Commission is going to be doing, are we going to be entertaining proposals to give legislators a 12-month-a-year living wage?
The short answer is yes.
Okay.
And I do believe that what we do here today will have an impact on the discussion that we have around legislator compensation.
Yeah, I would think so.
Further discussion?
Yes.
Commissioner Gordley.
Thank you very much. I do want to say, with regard to the proposed amendment put forth by my good colleague, in my mind, what we need to weigh, and this is also given what has been learned from the or through the Washington experience, we need to ask ourselves the question, how does this enhance opportunities for public participation? How does this enhance opportunities for public participation? And then we also need to ask, how does this enhance opportunities for thoughtful deliberation on the part of the members? Those are the questions I have in my mind, and with that said, I will be coming down on the side against the motion. Very concerned that we not diminish opportunities for the public participation. Very concerned about that piece.
Thank you. Was that a hand up, Commissioner Herring?
Yeah. It's a pencil up, but I think what we might consider is that this proposal has to be sold in some way to the legislature, certainly, and maybe for the legislators, to the voters in some at some stage. My perception is that the popular opinion is that the less often, or the least long the legislature meets, the better off everybody is. Part of this business about public participation has to do with being on the defensive. That is, if the legislature meets only 1 week a year, then you have to defend yourself only 1 week a year. And I think from that standpoint, and keeping in mind that our overall task, I think, which is to restore to the extent possible the legislature's reputation among people in Oregon, to that extent, I think it makes sense to limit the sessions to the in a practical way. And so I would support that idea. Justice Lindy, of course, says it would make more sense among reasonable people to have no limits at all. If the legislature needs to meet, it ought to meet and take care of stuff as long as it needs to take care of it, and then go home. Sure, that would make sense, but we know that isn't going to, you can't sell that kind of an idea, because if you had that idea, they would meet all the time, and they would have, you know, activists putting up proposals against which the rest of us would have to defend ourselves all the time. So, to make a long story short, I would support the idea of going putting the outer limit on June 20.
Thank you. Further discussion. Connie.
I just wanted to clarify. I think starting earlier is something I would certainly be open to, and something I think the original proposal gives you flexibility to do, and get out of here earlier, hopefully at an end of June timeline. My concern, I just wanted to be clear, is on the overall time, because as you shrink that, and I'll just be very candid as a practitioner of this process, that the more time you shrink there, the more activity you're going to have in that January to March, January to April, whatever it ends up being, time frame. Because frankly, I will look at the workload and have to, you need to utilize that time effectively, even more so as you shrink your time limit. So again, my concern is just the shrinking of the time limit, not getting in earlier. Because I do think my sense for whatever it's worth, from interacting with members of the legislature, that going into the summer, I think, has been, that deep into the summer, has been a general concern as they have looked at this proposal. But again, I kind of feel like there's flexibility within it as it is. So.
Thank you. Staff, our large and capable staff, has contacted the staff of the Legislative Council and gotten the following information, which would be of interest in this discussion, I believe. The revenue forecast is quarterly in the statutes. No dates are set in statute. But the May forecast during the session is already early, because it really, normally, if it was a quarterly forecast, would come in June. Moving the forecast earlier is not impossible, but be cautious.
Parliamentary question. Is calling under Mason's Rules of Order, which I do not know, is calling the question permitted?
Of course it is.
In that case, I'll call the question.
Well, we have, unless there's this debate. So the question has been called for. Is there any discussion over that? Any concern over ceasing debate and taking a vote on the question?
You will restate the amendment, correct?
The staff is going to do that right now.
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, I believe that you are voting on the first of three suggested amendments, and that is to move the deadline of the first session to June 20th, so that you sign your die no later than June 20th.
Unless three-fifths of the body agrees to extend it. Both bodies decide to extend it.
It's for June 20th of 2007.
Right, but three-fifths of the... No, three-fifths.
Yeah.
time extensions allowed only with 3/5 vote of both houses.
That's subsequent sessions.
Well,
we're just talking about June 20th.
Anyway, okay, so that's an inviolate date. If they haven't passed the budget, they got to go home. Is that what you're saying, Jenny? If they have, it's whatever day the end date is. Mr. Chairman, excuse me.
Commissioner Barrows.
So whatever the end date is, whether it's July 30th, June 20th, whatever it is, there is no way the body can extend itself into us. What is the time extension allowed only with 3/5 vote of both houses?
That was in the, Mr. Chair and Commissioner Barrows, that was in the second part of the overall recommendation from the committee related to the annual sessions.
I'm sorry. I apologize. I did read ahead.
Yeah. So right now we're looking at 2007, June 20th. No later than June 20th.
The question has been called for.
Chairman.
First of all, let's be clear about something. I don't know Masons, but under Robert's Rules of Order, calling for question is not the same as moving the previous question.
That's correct.
So this doesn't cut off debate.
It does not yet. It hasn't been cut off.
Correct. And all I was going to say is, since we're talking about an amendment here, there's no point in interpreting what the committee's text is. If you vote for the committee's text, that's it. But if the amendment can either allow a 3/5 vote or not. I wasn't clear about myself. It seems to me that's up to the mover of the motion, but what does he mean?
Commissioner Burns?
I am just looking for someone to clarify for me exactly which is the best situation here. I need to hear why it's more important for us to meet 1 month earlier than it is for us to extend the session 1 month later. I've heard some arguments on both sides, but I mean, as someone who isn't in the legislature, I don't honestly know what the best option is, and to vote on this amendment right now, I feel slightly inadequate.
Commissioner Morse, would you like to respond to why you believe June 20th is better than July 30th? Thank you, Mr. Chair. Well, as a member of Ways and Means, Ways and Means Committee would be here beginning in January, meeting full-time until conceivably to the end of July. That's a full-time commitment for a portion of the legislature. The other members would meet conceivably part-time, but in actuality would be full-time most likely, doing activities officially representing the body in the districts, reaching out. Even though we don't have our regularly scheduled floor sessions, but still we're allowing for floor sessions for first reading of bills. So the session is a practical matter in my mind. Under the original proposal, still begins in January. You just modify the way that you execute that session. I just think the sideboards are too low to go to July 30th. Sideboards need to come up a little higher in terms of timing, discipline, and structure, which the chair of the committee said were the overarching concerns. Commissioner Boone, please.
This is just a point of clarification, and this assumes that there will also be a shorter session the following year, rather than, is that what you're talking about?
Yes, a 60-day session.
Okay.
Right.
May I ask why June 20th instead of June 30th?
10 days shorter.
Thank you.
Commissioner Braun.
Senator, I love that name, Senator Frank. I wish we could have served together. I want to tell you that the original date that was proposed was March 1st, and quite frankly, that's when we thought the ramp-up period, which Commissioner Connie has talked about, the ramp-up, getting ready, getting people to know each other, doing some of the detail to get prepared for legislative session, as long as that ramp-up session can period of time can be preserved for legislators to get ready, including Ways and Means, then there's no harm done. But if you're going to do everything else during that ramp-up session that has been enumerated, which sort of cascaded down on us, again, it's up, as the good judge has pointed out, it's up to you to make the date, and you can do it here, I suppose, or you can do it with your colleagues as legislators. It's not fixed in any stone. It doesn't have anything to do with the Constitution. It is a proposal for us to get on with it. And so I will support Senator Frank's proposal.
I have been advised by the parliamentarian that the wording used by Commissioner Carmel was to move the previous question. And in that case, the previous question has been moved.
No, she just called for the question.
She just called for the question.
Point of order?
That is different.
What's your point?
My point is, if you move the previous question, I thought you then had to have a vote on whether debate should be closed.
That's precisely the next words out of my mouth.
Thank you.
All those in favor of ceasing debate will signify by saying aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed will say no.
No.
Debate
no.
is ceased. We are now ready to take a vote on the motion. Would the staff please restate the motion?
Mr. Chair, members of the Commission, again, you are voting on whether sine die is no later than June 20th, 2007.
The clerk will call the roll.
Barros?
Aye.
Bernstein
excused.
Representative Boone?
Aye.
Bronner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Cease?
No.
Craig?
Aye.
Duncan?
Aye.
Cromeyer?
No.
Garber?
Aye.
Senator Gortley?
No.
Herring?
Yes.
Hill?
Aye.
Carmel?
Aye.
Leeson excused. Lindy?
No.
Merton excused. Senator Morse?
Aye.
Paisley excused. Sheriff Ramirez excused. Schutte?
Gretchen, are you still on? She's off. Excused.
Excused. Seeley?
No.
Simchuk?
Aye.
Wilson?
No.
Yoshida excused. Co-chair Pryor?
No.
Co-chair Wilhelm?
No.
Very close.
The
ayes have it.
What was the vote count, please?
13-9.
Mr. Chair, I had 14 ayes. That failed.
14 ayes and how many nays?
14 ayes. It failed. Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for clarification, any votes that you take today, you need 16 aye votes. Okay. For it to pass, that's a majority of the members of the commission.
And that's in our rules that it's a majority of the members of the commission, as opposed to a majority of the members present, and that's consistent with legislative rules. The motion has failed to pass. Motion number two.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, motion number two, as proposed by Senator Morse, was that we start session no later than the first Monday in March rather than the first Monday in April.
Senator Morse, would you like to further explain that motion?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure that it's material. The motion is material, and I withdraw it.
Okay, the motion has been withdrawn. Motion number three?
And likewise.
Motion number three has been withdrawn.
Mr. Chairman, a parliamentary inquiry.
Commissioner Frohnmeyer.
I am understanding the motion as presented by Chair Lang that the adjournment date is the latest date at which we recommend it, and that therefore we're the Legislative Assembly to choose to adjourn at an earlier date, including June 20th, that would still be subsumed as an understanding within the meaning of the main motion.
Correct.
So that in an effort to spread oil on the waters and to get peace in the committee, I think it's possible for us to conclude that if we were to pass the main motion, it still leaves it in the hands of the legislative assembly to pass a rule prescribing an earlier adjournment date should it wish, and that would be consistent with the main motion.
Thank you. If the chair could take the liberty of thinking back to one of the ideas I believe that was brought back from the state of Washington that I think has got fairly widespread support and will be discussed in future deliberations of this commission. It deals with the leadership getting together, putting together a resolution that sets forth the important dates of a session, that is the limitations on bill introductions, the great crossover date, and sine die, hopefully. And this measure, as it's proposed to our committee commission today, certainly goes a long way toward driving that process, forcing the leadership to get together and make those agreements up front ahead of time. The idea that was brought back from Washington that we thought was a great idea was that they then pass, the members of the legislature, pass a resolution with those dates contained in that resolution, and then it's you manage toward those dates. So the sine die date couldn't be set earlier, and even if it didn't address sine die, the other dates that are so important to sine die could be contained in that resolution. So I just offer that as an item that is going to be discussed further in the commission. I think it's a great idea. We've started getting a lot of letters of support and comments of support for that idea. So I think you're going to hear more about that later. But it fits well with the proposal that was made, and I think, Senator Morse, it really does address one of your major concerns. All right. Do we have any further discussion on the proposal that came from the process committee, as proposed by as presented by the chair?
I have a question.
Commissioner Seeley.
I was able to participate in half of that first committee meeting, or not first committee meeting, but your first meeting where you kind of delved into some of this. Can you share some of the sense of March versus April, what the committee deliberations have been? Why you landed on April versus March? Do you have a sense, or anyone on the committee? And I know lots of folks participated who weren't necessarily on the committee.
Thank you, Commissioner Seeley. I think Commissioner Bronner actually recapped it as well as I could. We originally started talking about March, and I can't tell you that there was anything incredibly specific or compelling about choosing March. We were interested in the cooling off period, the ramping up, the opportunity to have time for learning and orientation. The April date really came along after discussion with legislative revenue, legislative fiscal, and the idea that the closer the floor session activity could be to the May revenue forecast, the better.
Thank you.
And if any other committee members have different recollections of those conversations, please jump in.
Press the issue if no one's mind is going to be changed, but I don't think the defeat of the first measure necessarily argues against the defeat of the second measure if it were to go forward. Because I think if you were to, I continue to look at 2 months might be just plenty of time to. I think the ideas are brilliant that Jenny has to get out, to have hearings around the public, to train, to get to know each other. I worry that the public will think that 3 months is a little long for that and lose interest instead of 2 months. And if you do it 2 months and start bringing back in session in the 1st of March, then it's more likely that they will get out. Even without a deadline, the current deadline of July 30th is fine. They'll get out in June instead of July. But if others who voted against the first measure don't think that makes any difference, and I don't want to press the issue, but I think it might be worth discussing if someone wants to discuss it.
Well, it's an open forum. If there's further discussion, the chair will entertain the discussion.
Co-chair Wilhelm.
Commissioner Wilson?
Yes, I would agree with what Commissioner Timchuk just said a few moments ago. It seems to me that the 60 days would be sufficient for doing what we're trying to accomplish here. But I also know the process well enough to know that given that scenario, if you give them the longer length of time that we have discussed and chosen to do so, they undoubtedly will take it.
So is this leading to a new motion?
I will leave that up to Commissioner Timchuk to do. If he feels strongly enough about that, I would support him in that. If he does not, I'm satisfied with the way things are.
Why I would, Commissioner Wilson was a no vote in the first motion and would vote aye on this motion. That would make it 15. I won't make a motion if there's no one who says it will change it to 16, being that's the, I think, the trademark we are to govern. Yeah. I don't hear any other no votes saying that they'd vote yes on this. So.
Who's there for you? Commissioner Frohnmayer?
Oh, I intend to vote for the main motion. Is that the question?
As I understand it, the discussion right now is over what would have been motion number two.
Motion number two.
A March start date.
It's a March start date as opposed to an April start date.
But there's no motion on the floor.
There is no motion on the floor.
Co-chair Wilhelm.
Commissioner Wilson.
I would again ask the chair of the committee to comment on that before I go further with it.
Commissioner Lang.
On a March start?
Correct.
I don't think I can add anything to the discussion, Carl.
Okay.
Further discussion? Commissioner Morris.
Speak to the main motion.
Certainly.
Thank you. If the overarching issue is to put limits, to put discipline, and to put structure, I would propose to you that the motion as it stands does not do that. If you put that outer limit of July 30th on this, what will be consumed by the public is a recommendation by the Public Commission on the Legislature that that be the deadline drop-dead date of July 30th, which translates into a 7-month plus two more months in the even years as I'm just very concerned that details do matter in what we propose and how it is perceived and delivered to the public. And I'm just concerned that we are missing the boat, and I will be a no vote on the main motion, Mr. Chair.
Thank you. Commissioner Barrows.
Very briefly, Mr. Chairman. As the members of this commission know, I've been in this building a long time, more than a half a century. And I'm sure it is because of my age and my inability to grasp new ideas, but I truly do not understand what non-wage and means legislators are going to be doing between mid-July and the first Monday of April. Mid-January, first week of April. I don't understand it. The document talks about committees will meet on a limited basis. I just don't understand what we're getting during what value we are advancing for this in this 2.5 month period. I truly don't. Most of the things we talk about are things to talk about here. Justice Lindy talked about the dichotomy of public participation and putting close hard dates on the end. One of the dichotomies is, are we going to send legislators home and yet ask them to get to know each other better? How does that work? Tom Butler's in Ontario. How's anybody going to get to know him better? So I'm deeply distressed about we're just kind of pushing a calendar out for a couple of 2.5 months to what purpose I'm not clear, and then We all know that work tends to fill the time available to it. And I'm worried now about the end of July. I think the public will see this as no step forward. They will see that as the hard end date. I strongly endorse a hard end date on a legislature, but I don't endorse that date. So as a result, Mr. Chairman, I'm going to have to join Senator Morris in opposing the main motion.
Thank you. Commissioner Pryor, co-chair Pryor.
As I said earlier, we have all been waiting for this issue to come before us. And there is a lot of other work to follow. There is a work plan for every one of the committees, a lot of work that has to be done yet. Just because this has come to us now, the important thing about it is, do you want to have annual sessions? Between that answer, yes or no, well, let's say it's yes, and getting there, there's a tremendous amount of work that has to be done. All the other committees have to do their work, which will feed into responding to some of your questions, Dave, about what will you be doing. Now, if at the end of that time you get there and you say, well, we didn't get enough done to fill that stuff up, then you don't have to go that far. But if you don't start, if you don't say one way or another, you either want annual sessions or you don't, you really hamstring these other committees to complete their work. And I'll give you a good example. We all said, and a lot of people have said, that there needs to be more agency oversight. Well, what does that mean? Well, that will come in the discussions about that, which will feed back into what the committees are doing, what they're supposed to be doing in that early time, trying to get things organized and structured, trying to do the research. We all said there needs to be more research. When are you going to do that? There needs to be more education. There needs to be more training. There need all this, all these things that are also in that report from that committee, from the process committee. So this is the beginning of this commission trying to get to what is the body of work we want to see the legislature undertake.
Thank you. Commissioner Carmel.
I think Commissioner Pryor happily is just urging that we take an action, that we move on with this process, but I want to more directly respond to the intent about this vague session between mid-January and April, early April. Commissioner Lang has said, and I concur, that the committee talked about a cool-off period after the election. People didn't have to dive right out of the election into the business of lawmaking. In fact, as I recall our early discussions, we didn't even talk about having a January piece, and then somebody said, by the way, I think maybe the leadership needs to get a few things organized in that first week, and that entered the picture. And then there was some discussion of the huge importance of orientation activities for new legislators, which whether there's a few or a lot in any given scenario, it's got to be very difficult for a new legislator, and that this provided some time for orientation and training and some time for some research on things that even a new legislator might say, if I wanted to write a bill on X and have research done. So I think, I hate to reuse the BlackBerry thing, I think there's a lot of stuff creeping into this presumption of how much time. Our intent was full-time, mandatory floor sessions begin in April and last for 120 days, no more. I am also of the school of thought, having some expertise in human behavior, that the odds, if I were a betting woman, of the legislature regularly adjourning itself in less than whatever this 100 period is are pretty low. So I just think a lot of stuff has kind of crept into this period such that if it is characterized to voters as so they're going to start meeting in January and go till August, won't sell, shouldn't sell. But that was not our intent, nor is it part of the plan as I understand our committee's recommendation. So I would urge you to vote for it.
Commissioner Driver.
I'm going to vote for it basically because I see it as a statement that we believe in annual sessions. The time has come for annual sessions. I don't like a lot of the details that are in here, and I would have greatly preferred an earlier end date, earlier start date. I think the that is something, because since the legislature is going to adopt all this by rule and other methods, they could have overridden it without the three-fifths majority if they needed to. But I think that we need to make that statement, and the details will probably change over time, but that's why I'm going to vote yes.
Thank you. Further comments or discussion? Then I assume we're ready to vote. Staff, restate the motion, please.
Mr. Chair, members of the commission, I believe the motion is stated by the chair of the process committee is that you approve the recommendation as presented by the process committee. That is, retime the biennial session for 07-08. And they plan for a session in 2008 and consider how to implement and what to do for annual sessions beyond.
Thank you. If there's any question about acceptance of the report from the committee, it's contained in writing and you all have it in front of you. So, does everybody understand the motion? Okay, the clerk will call the roll.
In spite of my great admiration for the committee chair and for the hard work the committee did, I am forced to vote no.
Bernstein excused. Representative Boone?
Aye.
Bronner?
Aye.
Burns?
Aye.
Cease?
Aye.
Gray?
Nay.
Duncan?
Aye.
Brohmeyer?
Aye.
Garber?
Aye.
Senator Markley?
Aye.
Harry?
No.
Hill?
Aye.
Carmel?
Aye.
Representative
Krieger
excused. Lane?
Aye.
Vladimir?
No.
Leeson excused. Lindy?
Aye.
Burton excused. Senator Morse?
No.
Pigsley excused. Sheriff Ramirez excused. Schutte?
Excused.
Seeley?
Aye.
Dimchuk?
Aye.
Wilson?
Aye.
Yoshida excused. Co-Chair Pryor?
Aye.
Co-Chair
Wilhelms? Aye. 17 ayes. The motion passes. Are there any? It's the only item we had on the agenda today, but I think before we leave, are there any comments, questions, clarifications, or any other words that people want to say? Co-Chair Pryor, do you have anything you'd like to say?
I do not, sir.
Well, this co-chair would very much like to thank you for your indulgence today. We finished. We kept Ginny Lang from slitting her wrist, which is going to happen at 4 o'clock if we weren't finished by 4. So I do appreciate very much your deliberation here, and I believe this is a beginning. It is a start, and I would hope that anybody that I hope nobody's disturbed by what went on today. But if you still have questions or concerns, we've got plenty of time to take care of those, I believe, before we finish our work later this fall. Commissioner Cease.
I have a question. I do want to say thank you. I do want to, if there are people who've sat around the table and not made votes in public before and you're uncomfortable with the process, you're now inaugurated into it, and so you can have comfort with it for the rest of the time. and everybody can be friends afterwards, right? Anyhow, my question is
an example
this.
For the legislature.
Well, we didn't vote on the same side, and we love each other anyhow. So, yeah, we just met. So far, we're still. So, my question is as this is presented and written up and printed, are you guys going to have a cover preliminary kind of a thing that talks about reasons for this, rather than just the details that are on the page and the kinds of rationale that Chair Lang talked about when she was making her eloquent statement at the beginning of it? I would appreciate it if we could have something like that.
The answer is yes.
Thank you.
Commissioner Gordley.
Thank you. I guess this would fall under the category of for the good of the order. We've heard a lot about blackberry vines today. And when I was growing up, we had blackberry vines in the backyard, and my sister and brother and I had the task of keeping them cut back just so. But those blackberry vines also delivered some really juicy berries that my mother turned into a delicious cobbler. So I would just ask us to remember that.
The question, right. Commissioner Gordley, is
the chair. I have a blackberry and it encroaches on everything.
The question is whether we can get to the fruit beside the thorns.
Well, it was related to what is a briar patch into which I got thrown whenever something went wrong.
Which I have a request. The agendae for the various committees often have a listing of what proposals are going to be considered, and it is very impossible to tell as a non-committee member which of those proposals are getting serious consideration to come to this commission as a recommendation and which of those are just kind of get them off the table. Somehow I'd like to have a little bit of advance notice from the other committees about recommendations that are under serious consideration right now and will eventually probably wind up at this table. So I don't know how we do that, but I'd really like to know what are the things coming down the pike from other committees that that are getting serious consideration. Does anybody else sense
that? No, I totally agree. That happens in the legislature, though. We see in the calendar these bills are being scheduled for the purpose of being tabled. I mean, they put it right in the calendar. And I agree with Barbara. It's hard to know whether, especially the ones at the bottom of the agendas,
so
whether they're, you know, for El Muerto purposes or you're going to discuss them.
Well, just as clarification, I think most of the proposals that are listed on agendas should be assumed that we are having a discussion about those in committee. We're at that stage where almost everything that's left, we're having a serious discussion on.
So that with the intent of bringing him to this commission, mm-hmm. as Barbara pointed out.
With basically a clarification that if we aren't taking further action, it's for good reason, and we will explain that when we come to the commission.
You're not
I'm
satisfied
still not
yet.
Knowing how I'm going to know what are the major issues that are coming to this table. And the committees presumably know more about that. Other committees know more about that than we do. Is there any way to know?
Yes. I don't know why we can't prepare a list of the items that are alive in each committee, and if not posted on the website, distribute it to the commissioners.
And Mr. Chair, members of the committee, that list is available on the website right now.
Oh well.
Okay.
Again, at the last full commission meeting, we certainly wiped the slate clean of all of those that we were taking no further action on. As I explained, everything else is up for discussion.
Okay, and it is available on the website.
Everything's on the website.
All right. Further comments and discussions? Once again, we appreciate your time and participation. We know it's not always easy. We look forward to seeing you back here
in May
for our next full commission meeting. With that, the meeting is adjourned.